Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, so on the front door of the New England Patriots team facility is the four rules of the team, right? Do your job, work hard, be attentive, put the team first. Those are things that I can show my soldiers, guys, my organization, hey, you don't have to be super talented.
Yeah.
You don't have to be the biggest, strongest, fastest guy. If you do those four simple things, you're going to be successful.
That is Jake Beckett on with Tim Tebow doing an interview that was fascinating. Obviously, today is Veterans Day, and we thought, perfect guy to get on the air since he played right here where we are in Foxborough right now at Gillette Stadium. And then he saw a higher calling, and he enlisted in the Army. So it'd be great to get his story. And this is a day, Jake, and we welcome you to the program. This is a day in which we should honor all of those servicemen, including you. Thank you very much.
No, of course. It's great to be on with you.
So you tell us, you're playing football. I remember you got hurt. The big fellow over here, Mr. Fourier, has already pointed out they moved you to tight end. Obviously, he thought that was the higher calling, okay? Yeah. Moving you from defensive lineman to...
That's where the real athletes are.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so what happened, and where did you get to the point where you said to yourself, this is my calling?
Right, so I got hurt in training camp in 2015, and I've been thinking for a long time, but really more intensely in the last couple of years that I was in New England, that whenever my playing days were over, I wanted to serve in the military. And so after I got released off IR in 2015, I wasn't healthy enough to join right away. I took a year off and got I had a succession of surgeries, but I got healthy, and I actually spent a year in law school, kind of away from the game. And but once I was healthy enough, the minute that I could, pass the physical requirements, I enlisted and signed up for officer candidate school, and got the ball rolling.
So, I mean, there is I think this is such an interesting, cool story for me, going from the NFL to the military, and you do not have, it's not like you were an Army brat, right? You didn't grow up in the military. You didn't live in different cities or, growing up as a kid. What was it specifically that made you want to join? I know, a higher calling, but what was it, that while you're sitting in meeting rooms or, you're rehabbing, that said, you know what, that looks like a profession that I would be good at?
Well, I can't say it was, there wasn't one day or one event that inspired me totally, but it was something that I'd been thinking about and praying about for a long time. As you said, I'm not from a military family. I'm the first of my family to serve, but I come from a very patriotic family. They've been very supportive, and look, at the end of the day, when I was done with my football career, I was still a young man. I was in my mid to late 20s. I was eventually, perfectly healthy, and really what it came down to was I thought, if someone has to do this, why not me? It is a higher calling to serve, and there are thousands, millions of men and women throughout our country's history who have answered that call. I think everyone who serves on active service in some way feels that call, and for me it was a no-brainer.
So, Jake, I know, we talk to Bill, like, every week, and it's always difficult to get him to talk about anything, but you bring up the military, and he'll be very talkative. So I'm curious, in your time in New England, was there ever a discussion with him talking about maybe what your desire would be after your NFL career?
No, not specifically, but you're certainly right. Coach Belichick has a great respect and reverence for the military. I think that comes from his upbringing. His dad coached at Navy. Coach Belichick always, on all the military holidays, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, he would always make a special point to give a quick talk to the team about the importance of honoring our service members. He would also have great speakers come in and speak to the guys, guys like Admiral Boomer Stupplebeam, Roger Staubach, Dom Razzo, a former Dev Crew operator. I mean, those are all Navy guys, but that's okay. There's plenty of great Army guys out there as well, but he really did instill a great respect among the in the locker room for military personnel, and I really applaud that.
Was that part of that influence, or was it well before you played with the Patriots?
It was before, but it became much more pronounced when I was there. I think that was more a product of the timing. You know, I knew that even if I had a successful NFL career, it wasn't going to last forever, and I was nearing the completion of that. But my time in New England certainly amplified, I would say indirectly steered me towards the military.
Jay Beckett, former New England Patriot, enlisted in the Army. You've been stationed in Iraq. You know, you play football, maybe you can blow out an ACL. Maybe later on in life, because you got hit in the head too many times, maybe you have some issues. You go to Iraq, you go into a frightening area of the world. Pat Tillman, he enlisted. He left football. He went over there. He was killed. When you're making your decision, does any of this stuff go through your mind, Jake?
Well, there's always risks. I do not put myself in the same category as someone like Pat Tillman who made the ultimate sacrifice. You know, someone who walked away from a starting position, a multi-million dollar contract. I mean, he really is an example for me and for all of us. But, I think part of my decision was, I wanted to put myself in harm's way. You know, I wanted to serve in the Army and the infantry. I wanted to go to Ranger School and, be where the rubber meets the road in the fight. And, it was a tough deployment to Iraq. You know, there were a lot of guys who spent a lot of time away from their friends and families and served in the combat zone. And, that's what we do. You know, that's why we wear the uniform to do that. So others don't have to.
You know, there's a lot of similarities, I guess, to the structure that exists in football and in the military. But, you know, living, I guess, a glamorous life in the NFL, staying in great hotels, flying on your own plane. How tough was the adjustment for you when you went from the NFL to the military? I mean, you're going to Ranger School and you're sleeping 45 minutes a night. I mean, they're not feeding you anything.
Right. You don't really have the amenities in the military that you get used to in college and pro sports, but that's okay. I will say that football prepared me for a military lifestyle, and in other ways, football has a way of instilling you, with mental toughness, with physical toughness. It teaches you how to set goals and achieve them. It teaches you how to rely on your teammates, which the military is the ultimate team game. So, I will say that football, in many respects, prepared me for what I'm doing now.
Yeah, and how often does it come up? I mean, you're over there. You're one of the leaders. How much do you look back at your time or talk about, this is just like, football, what Bill Belichick used to tell us as members of this football team. How much does that come up for you?
All the time. I tell everyone who will listen that, the lessons I learned with the New England Patriots, they're about much more than football. When you spend time around such great leaders, leaders like Bill Belichick, like Tom Brady, and really up and down the roster, guys like Matthew Slater, Steve Wiskowski, Rob Ninkovich, Devin McCourty, the list goes on. You learn those lessons about hard work, about sacrifice, about putting the team first. Those are the kind of, the kind of lessons in training that I like to instill in the soldiers that I lead, the peers that I lead with, those lessons I learned in New England have paid dividends.
So Ranger School thing is amazing to me because you started at 270 pounds, you graduated at 200 pounds. You talked about no sleep. It is really survivor camp because, as you just pointed out, there are no Ritz-Carltons you're staying at the in Moselle. This is hardcore survival. What the hell is that like?
Well, it's tough. I think to a football audience, it's kind of like a, Ranger School is kind of like a long training camp where they forget to feed you and you sleep outside. it really challenges you, mentally, physically, and emotionally, but it's great training. You learn who you really are in situations like that. You know, I have to correct you there. I went into Ranger School about 245 pounds, not 270. I played football at 270.
But okay.
I still lost about 45 pounds over the course of 2 months.
I'm good with that. I'm
sorry?
I said I'm good with that. That's good. You're dropping 45, but they're not feeding you, right? You're low-calorie diet, they're not
feeding
you.
They're basically on the military's version of the keto diet.
Yes.
the military keto diet is exactly right. You know, you're never in danger of starving to death, but you know, you're definitely not you know dining on gourmet meals out there either. They keep you to, you know, anywhere from, you know, 1,000 to 2,000 calories per day, which, you know, in the course of a 23-hour workday is not a lot of food. And but that's part of the challenge. You know, you have to really dig deep and really, you know, master the art of leading people who are just as starving and hungry and tired as you are, but they're going to accomplish the objective because, you know, hey, that's where our mission is.
You should be getting some tips from Jake for your Wednesday 24
exactly,
5 hours.
Exactly. Yeah,
he's perfect guy.
Yeah. So Jake, when you're going through sleep deprivation, is there anything that you do to try and, I don't know, keep yourself up? Because it's not like, hey, can we get a cup of coffee? You know, I mean, what do you do?
You know, it's pretty funny. I mean, everyone who's been through Ranger School has their own Ranger School stories. You know, I saw guys fall asleep on route marches while standing up. They would just kind of, you know, veer off into the wood line, and guys had to go wrangle them up and get them back in formation. You know, a lot of guys like myself, you know, we carry in these pocket notebooks, and I would actually, you know, to keep myself awake, you know, if I was, you know, off the security perimeter, I would write down all the food that I was going to eat when I graduated Ranger School. So I still like to laugh and go through my old notebooks. I can see the menu of all the food that I was going to eat when I graduated.
Mm, I like
just
it.
little things like that.
All right, so you're a platoon leader. So you're responsible for training soldiers. Now be honest. Now, how many Billisms do you use on a regular basis? I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you know what I'm talking about,
job.
Right? Do your job. How many of those do you use? I'm sure you have them ready to go, right?
On to Cincinnati.
Well, of course.
Yeah, on to Iraq.
On to Iraq, exactly. No, it's, you know, I use those all the time because, you know, they're helpful. You know, I think that Coach Belichick has seen the success he's seen for a reason. He's able to communicate his organizational philosophy to everyone, in the senior leadership ranks all the way down to the 53rd guy on the roster, you know, a guy like me. And it's the same way, you know, the same philosophy I try to use as a platoon leader. You know, I have to communicate to higher headquarters, but I also have to make things simple and relatable for the lowest private in my formation. You know, he has to understand the concept of the operation as well. So, you know, I was very fortunate to learn those lessons in football, and like I said, they translate very well to the military.
All right, so, you know, we speak to Bill every Monday at 5:30, so he's going to be coming on here pretty soon. Any message you'd like for us to share with him? You send a message to Bill?
Yeah, just tell him I said thank you. I treasured my time in New England. I learned, like I said, so many things from him and from the team. You know, things that I'll carry with me for the rest of my life, things that I've carried with me to Iraq and beyond. So just tell them I said thank you.
And we'll do what's best for the platoon, right?
Yeah.
That how we doing?
and put the platoon first.
Jake, last one for me. I know we see it all the time, right? Whether it be a Super Bowl, championships, whatever it might be, you always see the picture, the cameras, you know, the military, people getting together, watching the sporting event. I'm curious, are you on the other side of that? You know, have you sat down watching the Super Bowl, you know, with your ties? Do you see it from a different side now, what it means for these guys to sit there and actually take a break and watch a sporting event?
No, I definitely do. You know, we're so blessed to live in a country that reveres the military, that supports the military, you know, especially on days like today, the guys feel that. It's so cool to see, you know, from both sides now, you know, just simple gestures like that when teams honor military servicemen, when they honor, you know, veterans, when they honor those who have fallen on Memorial Day, you know, that means the world. It resonates up and down our formations. And, you know, I can't thank the fans, you know, the Patriots. It's not just the team name, you know, the people up there in New England, they truly are Patriots. And, It means the world that you guys support the troops and keep us in your thoughts and prayers.
Jake, it was great talking with you, especially on this Veterans Day when we honor all of those who served this country now or in previous years, and we thank all of them, including you. We really do. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it. It's my pleasure.
Hey, Jake, last question real quick. What was tougher, learn to play tight end or Ranger school?
Well, hey, as you said, the real athletes are the tight end. I'll take Ranger school every day.
Oh, please.
Thanks, Jake.
Jake, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Jake Beck.
Yeah, have a great day, guys.
You got it. That's a terrific story. We take a break, and we're right back at you. Bill Belichick will indeed join us coming up at 5:30.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
We're so blessed to live in a country that reveres the military, that supports the military, especially on days like today, the guys feel that. It's so cool to see from both sides now. Just simple gestures like that when teams honor military servicemen, when they honor veterans, when they honor those who have fallen on Memorial Day, that means the world. It resonates up and down our formations, and I can't thank the fans. The Patriots, it's not just the team name. The people up there in New England, they truly are Patriots, and it means the world that you guys support the troops and keep us in your thoughts and prayers.
Jake Beckett, former New England Patriot, now in the military. I thought all of the stuff yesterday was terrific, too, They were doing all the stuff before the game. I don't know if you guys fall for this. I fall for it every single time. When somebody puts up one of those videos and it's some contest, some game or whatever, and they bring the kids out there, and the kids are just there to represent their dad, and they don't think their dad's going to be there, and then suddenly out of center field or out of the dugout, their dad shows up. I don't know about you. I tear up a
little. They never get old.
No.
Because it's all brand new, right? Especially for that family, the emotion's real. They never get old. Those are outstanding. I love those ones.
I do too.
Yeah, it's just again. I keep harping on it.
It's a commitment, man. You go over there.
I mean, honestly, it is. And good question by you, because you think of just what he's giving up. You think about where he's going. You think about how his life was. And I'm not saying that it's cushy. Like they don't have to work. But you're at an elite status when you're in the NFL as far as what options you have, as far as where you can go, what you can do, the things that you can get into. And then you go there where you're completely – your life is taken away from you. They throw you out in a fourth. They say survive on 45 minutes of sleep and 1,500 calories a day.
Well, the sacrifice that a guy like Pat Tillman and that's why I was wondering. I would be scared bleepless – that he goes over there, he gives up his career, obviously, as Jake pointed out, a bigger career than his, but his career was still pretty decent. The fact is that Tillman was killed by friendly fire. Yep. And so you sit there and say, oh, my God, I may go out and lose a knee or something happen on the football field, but I go over there, I may lose everything.
Well, you look at Jake's story, and it was, he needed to physically be right to be enlisted. So while he was rehabbing, having, I think, three different surgeries, stuff that happened to him while he was in his NFL career, he decided to go to law school.
Yeah, that's pretty good dedication.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So he's like, well, while I'm rehabbing, I might as well go to law school.
Yeah.
Because like you said, I think his dad's a lawyer. That's in his family. So he hasn't finished law school, but he thinks at some point he'll go back and finish. So imagine Okay, I need to rehab my injuries. What should I do in the meantime?
I'm curious to know. I wish I would have asked him. Is this a career? Is this a lifetime thing? Because some guys go in, they serve their time, 4 years, whatever it may be. Maybe take a tour or two. Who knows? And then, you know, they want to be in there for life. You know, is this something that, or does he want to be, you know, do something else after this? Is this like an itch he had to scratch? I don't know. I just think it's interesting, you know, based on the dynamics of the whole situation.
All right, as I said, a lot of stuff over the weekend on the internet. And last night, for some reason, and I guess he was game last week, Chris Collinsworth, everybody was beating up on him. I really didn't have a problem with a simple mistake he made on the air.
Can't have simple mistakes anymore, Glenn.
Because I think we all understand how the radio TV business works. So this is Chris Collinsworth. He's talking about Dak Prescott.
Prescott telling us the other day that, you know, he's super confident right now. He is a guy who, when you asked him if he's extra motivated because of the contract situation, he said, not at all.
I play for free. He got his mom a house. He's happy. He said sponsorships pay for a few other things.
Yes, they do.
All right, they're yucking it up and laughing it off. There's only one problem, and that is that Dak Prescott's mom passed away 6 years ago. So obviously,
so
the information was erroneous.
Yeah, he got his mom a house.
Right. Any information was
okay. I mean, really? Yeah. So what are we going
to
do?
So like, you know what you have to do?
So well, people are out there, like, watching to get you in trouble here or there. So now he's got to apologize?
You
got to
do what Don Cherry's unwilling to do.
I think under this circumstance, I mean, listen, the guy's mother is not alive.
Correct.
I mean, if you messed up the story, I get it. But the fact is that she's not living. She's dead.
I get it. So Dak Prescott and you say, listen, and you talk to him. My bad. You know, I mentioned this. I got confused.
No, that's
hope
fine.
You're not offended. No, Dak Prescott's offended. Who's more offended? The people that heard it that just get offended over everything, or Dak Prescott?
Or people really offended? I would say it's just embarrassing that that NBC got such an important stat.
Yeah,
call us wrong.
It is.
Like, somehow someone fed him this information.
I get it.
And he trusted them, and they didn't know that she wasn't alive.
So he has to respond.
I know it's a little comical. It's not like, oh, you know, the house is blue, not green.
Okay.
It's a Chevy, not a Toyota.
You get the facts wrong, but you know how it works in the TV business. He did not sit down and speak with Dak Prescott, and Prescott said to him, I got my mom a house right then and there, because he would have said, oh, really? How's she doing in the house or whatever? He said, oh, she's been dead 6 years.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
Thank
you. But you know what happens. They do research. You have producers.
Of course.
You have 25 people.
Oh, yeah.
Who are wiping your rear end.
All handing
you
notes.
They're doing everything for you, handing you notes. They're doing all the research. They're handing it to them. Boom, you need something to say. We need to fill in content.
Are people making a big deal of this?
Yes,
they
did last night.
Is this blowing up?
Did last night. Big weekend for Twitter.
What's what I mean?
Sometimes, listen, stay off Twitter while you're watching a game.
So he apologized on the air during the game. Yep.
Prescott and his special relationship with his mom, Peggy Prescott. We've talked about her many, many times. She passed away in 2013, and he told us this week all he ever wanted to do was just take care of her and buy her a house. Apparently, I said that in some very mangled way, and I apologize for that. But the relationship is so special, I would never, ever want to do anything to get that twisted around.
So, again, we know how the business works, so... Behind the scenes, he's screaming and yelling at some producer,
just saying,
right?
Yes, he probably is. Yeah. But
what the bleep do you do?
The reason why he apologized is, again, because people on social media are more offended than maybe Dak Prescott would, and we just realized, you know, whatever, it's just a mistake.
Yeah,
people, you owe him an apology. How dare you talk about his mom? I guarantee, they just took so much heat in social because people are so can't wait to be offended.
Yeah, to me,
and catch you.
I think you should apologize in advance now for everything in your life.
We should
We should just open up the show in the first 5 minutes.
This, you idiot.
Apologize.
Yeah, but I apologize. That's par for the course. To me, that's completely different. That's something, oh, man, did I actually say she was alive? Oh, crap. It's different than what Don Cherry did. To me, those are two completely different situations. One is, it could happen to anybody. If you do TV, radio, you call games, you get bored, or somebody hands you a note, because I know you get a lot of support in those Red Sox games, Lou. Lots of people.
A lot of papers in front of you.
A lot of papers in front of you. You got to get that media guy out.
Especially with Doug around.
Oh, man. So, yeah, that to me is totally different than what Don Cherry. What Don Cherry did, he should have apologized.
Has he apologized yet, Ryan?
No, it would be better if he doubled down.
Ryan, Don Cherry's not going to.
Have we got an apology yet from Don Cherry?
Any day now.
No.
We're going to get one any day.
No, he's not. He's not apologizing. And I'll guarantee you, it really got loud. It was like over my dead
body. Oh, yeah.
Body.
He's 85
right.
years
not,
old.
Right, I'm not
no
doing
idea.
It.
All right, let's go.
I'm not doing it.
Because do you think Don Cherry really feels that way?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And he's 85. And yeah. he's like, that's when you're 85, you don't apologize
no.
for those things.
No.
Especially
no.
when
anybody's
your,
ever
your career's coming to an end
foot.
Anyways.
That's the benefit of being 85.
So I loved it. Yesterday, there was a player who actually apologized because he absolutely sucked yesterday. He sucked for the last
got
6 weeks. And he got ahead of it. And he's getting love all over Twitter. They absolutely love him. Plus, we got a guy who Fourier could not stand, said awful, awful things about him. And now suddenly he's one of his favorites. We'll get into it coming up next. This portion of the program brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Rams Black Friday sales event. Get your new 2019 Ram commercial truck.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
First and goal of the Eagles, too. Back to throw, Brady fires end zone, caught, touchdown! Touchdown in the end zone for Brady. All right.
Remember those days? Remember those good old days? Mike Brable would show up on the field.
Yep.
Playing the offense, and they would score touchdowns, and you couldn't stand that guy.
Well, first of all, that's not true.
No, it's
I
not.
Never could not stand him.
You,
I got irritated when they when he came onto the field, but I like Mike.
No, you like
I just
Mike.
Don't,
you,
I don't like goal like line Mike. Mike. I don't like goal line Mike.
goal line Mike
needs
like.
To beat it.
Right.
Go back to the sideline with
it.
This, you know, the cat that ate the canary grin when he comes out there knowing that he's
it.
Probably going to take one of our touchdowns. I don't like
right.
that guy.
I get it. It's all about team, and I understand all of that. So it's time for us to do whether anything has changed with contenders versus pretenders. And you brought up a statement off the air that I thought was unbelievable because Tennessee is still alive out there, alive for the playoffs anyway. I'm not sure they're a serious threat for anybody to win in the AFC, but you think what about
well, no, here's what,
Mike
here's what,
Vrabel?
It's funny. You know, we watch all these coaches, and they all of them, just they're just so stupid. They make so many dumb mistakes.
Jason Garrett.
I mean, Jason Garrett, veteran coaches, coaches
oh
that have been
God.
In the league forever, offensive coordinators, former quarterbacks, quarterback coaches. You know, the record that stands out to me with Mike Vrabel, and it's a sign of a good coach, a guy who just knows how to manage the game.
Wow.
He has an 11-0 record when he's tied or leading at halftime. So when the game is at its most critical point and they're in the circumstances are its most difficult,
just like goal line Mike,
he doesn't make mistakes.
Goal line Mike.
And watching that game, it was Rumble, all those guys just gleaming over how good he uses the clock and how he manages it.
He's great with
and
the clock.
And Andy Reid is terrible at it.
Awful.
And Kitchens is terrible at it. Garrett is terrible at it. All these coaches, if they could just figure out how to manage the clock and the situation, play calling is one thing. Managing your players is another. You need to figure out how to manage the clock. He does it.
Plus, he's found his quarterback.
Well, I don't know if he's found it. I don't know if he's found a quarterback, but the fact is he found the right guy for right now. But that to me is just like the guy's going to always have a job because he'll win games because he's just smarter than the other player,
well,
the other coach.
Was he smarter when they lost 16-0 to Denver?
When you're playing a close game, that's when you notice the record is a letter no when he's tied or leading at halftime. To me, that's like, okay, listen, we're in this game. Okay, now we're leading. How do we keep it? It has nothing to do with whether you just got your ass beat. When the game is close and the other team is starting to sweat and get anxious, and because they don't know what to do, he beats them to the punch. That's what showed up to me.
Listen, I think the guy is so far, I think he's a pretty good coach in this league. But, you know, they beat Kansas City, so now he's great?
No, he's his record is 11-0. It's not
good.
It's not 1-0.
Okay, but
it's 11-0. And if you've watched enough games, you watch teams lose it rather than win it.
I think he's pretty good.
So that,
but he's also lost games. I mean, they're 5-5. They're not that good.
I'm not saying that they're going to the Super Bowl.
Get more out of Mariota.
As far as
terrible.
Why do you hate Mike Vrabel? He took my touchdowns, not your at bats.
No, because
what's wrong with you?
He's just reaching out to you.
That sparked this was off the air earlier today. We talked about it. That's why the way he introduced it that way was that you said he's one of the good coaches in this league.
Top five.
He's one of the best coaches in the league.
One of the best coaches in this league.
Said it.
And I don't get it. Like, because
I just told you why.
Because they're 11-0. What happened in the first three quarters?
What do you mean, what happened? That's irrelevant.
He doesn't coach well in the first three quarters,
irrelevant.
But he's a great fourth quarter coach.
It's irrelevant. That's
what do you mean, it's irrelevant?
It's irrelevant. What that's happened like, in the third quarter? What,
we gonna, that's like saying you, Brett Favre with a great comeback. Meanwhile, he sucked in
it.
The first half.
The point is...
So, in other words, he can't prepare for a team. He gets outcoached the first quarters.
No, that's nothing. He was leading in that game. There was like about maybe 10 lead changes in that game, back and forth, back and forth.
Okay, you Derrick Henry, give it to him. They can't stop the run.
Wow, you hate him.
No, you can't. You called him one of the best coaches in the game because they won the game. And I'd say he's 5-5.
No. There's teams that are just more talented. They have better personnel. They've drafted better than you. So they have an instant advantage against you.
How about this?
Then there is the coaches that coach well enough where, despite their personnel issues, they play better than you because they don't make stupid decisions. They don't mismanage the clock. They don't take poor timeouts. Right. They don't act like Freddie Kitchens was. Right. Or who's the other coach that was just, why'd you take the timeout? I don't know.
I would say, when I look at the AFC and I say most disappointing teams, I'd say Cleveland 1, Tennessee 2. Most disappointing team this year was Tennessee. I thought they would go out there in the Vrabel and just do a better job of not losing games.
Based on their quarterback situation, I think they've done a fabulous job. They were smart enough to go pick up Ryan Tannehill because they knew Marcus Mariota was probably on the verge of pooping the bed. So they made sure they had a legitimate backup, at least the guy that had starting playoff experience. And as soon as they looked like, I think they made a tough decision on a guy that they drafted. And then they had to bench. I think that was a huge deal.
So he got into it on the sideline. Mike Vrabel did on the sideline with his left tackle, Taylor Lewan. And Lewan's been having some issues all year long. Dumb-ass penalties during the course of the game. But I got to give it to him. When the game is over, he took accountability for all of it.
Let me, before we even start this whole thing, my penalties are a problem. I am 100% an issue with that. It's not intentional. I do not mean to do it. My intentions are good. I'm just trying to finish. And it's killing the team. And I know that. You guys need to know that. No one needs to call me out or anything because I got it, boys. I am completely screwing the team with the amount of penalties I've had in these last, six games? It's crazy. It's horrible. I cannot get penalties. I'm sorry. There's no need to ask about it because I know I'm an absolute liability when it comes to penalties.
Wow. Fourth leading penalty guy in the league. Chris Sale material right there. Basically saying, I suck. It's all on me.
And guess what? You're
smart.
Which
is great the first time you heard it, because if you remember, David Price was like this for a month as well. The first month and a half he showed up. All right, so next week he gets two or three more penalties. He's come out with the same thing, and you're like, you know what, dude? Save it. Like, I would much rather you go out there and not commit penalties
than come out
after the game and talk about how, you know, being accountable. I appreciate the accountability. All I really care about is you change it up.
I'm telling you, it's 2019, and you saw how people were buying it. The media was sitting there saying, oh, this is great, this is wonderful. Everybody was saying it's wonderful. Because he, before anybody else could sit there and ask the questions, why you suck so badly, why you keep on getting penalized in key points during the course of the game, what he did is that, nope, don't ask me the question. I'm going
to
give
it
to you.
Sorry, there's no need to ask about it.
Nope.
He got ahead of it. Well, and it's funny because undisciplined players make stupid mistakes like this. Just go back to that game. He had back-to-back penalties that could have been crippling. One was an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty where he pushed the guy when the play was clearly over.
Yes.
Clearly over. So they get penalized. So they run a screen. They get the first down. It was like 3rd and 14 or 15 like that. They get the first down. Knucklehead holds. So he gets a clear holding penalty. He's complaining to the refs. They show it in slow motion. And he's flat out holding the guy. The guy's trying to disengage. He doesn't let him go. He does the, what? Oh, it was me? I mean, he's so stupid. So then he's walking off the sideline, and Vrabel, one of the best coaches in the NFL, looks to him
and
gives him some inspirational eye contact. He didn't even have to say anything. He just talked to him with his eyes. Yeah. And sure enough, he played better. Yeah. But there is that whole, you know, unless he's doing the right thing. He's getting ahead of it. You know, he's owning his mistakes.
Mike, did you think Tennessee was a 500 team coming into the year?
I didn't think there were a 14-2 team either.
I thought they were taking a step back.
I think they're a 9-7.
I think I said that at the beginning of the year. I don't think I had them in the playoffs. I had them taking a step back.
Oh, I think most people.
Why did you have them?
Thought that they would compete for that division.
They don't have a quarterback. Marcus Mariota sucks.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, figure out your young quarterback. Ryan Tannehill sucks too. by the way.
Yeah, he's getting you by.
Well, I'm just
right
saying,
now.
Like, he sucked
he's
in Miami,
getting you
too.
By. Yeah, he's getting
so,
you
okay,
by.
So, okay, now he's getting you by. Okay, so now we're going to discredit the guy in Miami because you couldn't get anything out of Tannehill and Vrabel can. Okay, what about Mariota? I mean, you had a quarterback there. You went 2-4, and it took you 6 weeks? All right, show me something and get rid of him.
Well,
week one.
I mean, it's so my issue, the thing with Vrabel is not the fact that he's some quarterback whisperer.
You say he's the best quarterback, best coach
he's
in the
one, he's one of the top
five.
You said
top,
the.
He's top five.
Well, the best coach is here in New England.
Second best coach in the league, you said.
I mean, I love Mike Vrabel.
No, I put Sean Payton up
top
there.
Top five?
Pete Carroll, in my opinion, top five. Would you take him or Andy Reid? Andy Reid has had how many years to get it right, and he still hasn't figured out he's got some of the best offensive weapons. And look how that game ended for him.
He has no defense.
They blow. No, they had two opportunities to put it away.
Whose fault is that?
The special teams mechanics alone should get the special teams coach fired. The way they were lined up on special teams, the kick that was blocked, the guys weren't even on the line of scrimmage. So they gave this guy, one, he gets the jump. Two, they opened up his lane to the point where, of course, he made it. To me, those are coaching
Andy
issues.
Andy Reid is a better head coach than Mike Vrabel.
I hate
Please.
To say it.
The guy's been there for 2 years.
But he's got to take some responsibility for his defense. He was the one that altered as the head coach. He had a lot of say in altering
you
those
take
guys.
Andy Reid. I'll take Mike Vrabel.
I hate to say it.
Be the battle of the mustaches.
Yeah, battle of the mustaches.
Say, comes out.
That's why he likes both of them, by the way, Ordway.
What's wrong with a good mustache? By the way.
He's like a mini Andy Reid anyway.
Oh, he is.
Your guy, Sony Michel, will put 110 yards on that defense. He will put... Your guy, Sony Michel,
no,
will put 110 on
no,
the
No, he won't. That's
you
the problem.
You no,
when
he
you,
won't.
When you, did you, you watch all that game, or at least most of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched.
So what stood out to you when it came to, okay, what the Patriots can do to beat the Kansas City Chiefs?
Can't run.
They can't run it. That's the one thing they can't do, what Tennessee
and
has.
And I give Tennessee credit because they had Derrick Henry, and like early on it was just sort of like a grind fest, and they just stayed with them.
All right, let's
and
do
eventually
this.
He broke through. The Patriots don't have
they
that
don't
rushing
have,
attack.
They don't have
Derrick Henry.
Let's do this because we've got just a few minutes to go with this. Kansas City Chiefs, they lose yesterday. They are now 6-4. Is anybody taking them off their board as a contender?
No, I say if you play them, you're in trouble. You don't. You can't answer. You can't put them away like Tennessee did or some of these other teams did. You don't have Indianapolis did.
Well, the
you
only
don't
thing,
have it.
Okay, I still think they're dangerous because they have the best player in the league, Pat Mahomes. And by the way, he looked fine yesterday. But they come at your strength as an offense. You know, they don't run the ball very well. They throw the ball.
Everywhere.
Which to me, I still think this is a huge test for this secondary because of the speed. Just that kid Hardman.
Yeah.
Didn't you think that was Tyreek Hill? He
yes.
caught
oh
that
my
ball.
God, exactly so who I thought
and
it was.
And I was like, is that Tyreek Hill or is that the other kid? He had about a 3 yard window, five yard window where he outran a guy by 2 or 3 yards.
I think he's as quick as Hill.
He absolutely is.
Yeah.
But I still think that's the strength of this team. It's a huge test. But I can still get more worried about a team that runs the ball like Baltimore.
And Hill went down, looked like it was a serious injury, and it turned out to be nothing. He was back in a few plays later. Nothing, absolutely nothing. All right, the Buffalo Bills. Big fella, you concerned about them making the playoffs because they're not a contender, right?
No. I'm not concerned at all. I think they're 6 wins, right?
6-3.
6-3.
They just need
schedule's
three more
tough.
Wins.
They got a tough schedule.
No, but.
Miami and Denver. At Miami, then Denver. They got to get to 8-3.
That's it. If
no,
they
then
just
it gets
get.
Tough.
Because
listen,
then the crap hits.
Yeah. They're gonna have those two games. They're gonna have to get them to 8, and then out of the remaining games, they're gonna have to be in a dogfight, and someone's gonna have to step up and
Christian,
come through to get to 9 wins.
One of their touchdowns was when Josh Allen fumbled the ball.
I tell you what,
actually,
their offense
the review
is,
put it out to the 1 yard line, but they looked like they had a touchdown and he fumbled.
But originally, it had less to do about their offense, but it had more to do
defense
with the teams that they were going to play. They still wait. Who did you say they still have? They still have.
Well, they got Denver. They're
and
at
they got,
Miami. At Miami, then they're home against Denver, but then it starts with, at Dallas,
loss.
Baltimore,
loss.
They got New England.
Loss.
I think there's one
who
at the end
with?
They should win.
Jets.
One of the Jets
is
or Miami.
The Jets? There's your three wins.
Yeah, they have to play a divisional game at the end.
So it's going to get interesting in Buffalo.
You're taking Pittsburgh seriously?
No.
Jets.
No.
And Steelers.
Pittsburgh, you're taking them seriously.
I was just going to say, the problem with Buffalo is maybe the emergence, because Pittsburgh's schedule is a joke. Especially they just look at the next four: Cleveland, Cincy, Cleveland, Arizona.
They're going to make the playoffs.
The emergence of Pittsburgh and Oakland, two teams you might sit there and say, 9-7. There's going to be a tiebreaker. Even if they get 9, that's not a lock. That's not a lock. A couple of those teams are going to get to 9.
Pittsburgh is an easy schedule. The only problem is they're playing a lot of those games on the road, but they are easy games on the road. All right, let's shift over to the NFC. By the way. Dallas Cowboys, frauds, frauds, frauds. For the Philadelphia Eagles, they should win this game this week against New England because you take over first in the NFC East. I'm not sure they're going to because they have their own issues. But Dallas is a fraudulent team. You know what? They are what they are every week. If I hear one more person talk about Josh McDaniels should take the Dallas job because they have a quarterback and they have a running back. No, they have an idiot owner. And he runs the thing. He tells Garrett to do.
And that is why Garrett is still there.
Exactly.
He's easily controllable. At his age, you think he wants to sit there and deal with some young go-getter telling him, I don't do things this way.
Terrible.
We're going to turn this into the Patriots culture, which means you got to step the hell out of my office and let me run this team?
Lou, are the Rams dead? D-E-D dead.
Yeah, the Rams are done.
Done.
The Rams.
Dunsky.
There you go. We got a Dunsky.
But I don't think anything has really changed. Like, you know, I don't look at that New Orleans game. I look at that as a one-off.
I do, too.
And Latimer's banged up. I look at that as a one-off.
That's a trap game.
Yeah, I still think New Orleans, San Fran.
Yep.
This game tonight, Seattle, I think will be
This is a good game tonight. Yeah. This is a good Monday night game.
But Green Bay is
I totally agree with New Orleans. Atlanta playing them in New Orleans. You're going to show up if you're in New Orleans and sitting there, okay, this is a cakewalk today, right?
That was a one-off.
That was a trap game, right. That was a trap game.
Shouldn't have been.
I'm not worried about that one. All right. So nothing really has changed.
So nothing. Well, Indy's kind of fallen off. I was a big fan of Indy.
Well, they're getting the quarterback back. That's the question.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's got that sprained MCL and Hoyer. Holy buckets. Are people still doing that thing where they add up all the wins of the former Patriot quarterbacks, Patriot Tom Brady backups, and adding up the records? Are we still doing that?
We don't count Hoyer because
we don't play Hoyer.
Oh, we not count Hoyer?
No, we don't count
all right,
Hoyer.
Okay.
If you lose, have a losing record, we don't count you.
We eliminate those.
All right, as well as
sure. 617-779-7937. Bill Belichick will join us at 5:30. We got another hour to go here on OMF. It is Patriots Monday down here at Gillette. We go 30 minutes commercial-free next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.